This is Dumbed Down Life number 134. Evening, sir.
Good evening. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm very well. How are you?
Not too bad. Not too bad at all.
Oh, I've just seen a message pop up on my phone, and it's you saying ready when you are. Okay. A bit late.
Efficient these things, aren't they?
Absolutely.
Text messages seem to have fallen behind. Did you notice that?
Yeah, absolutely.
I can send you a message on Facebook, on WhatsApp, on Skype, and they do come through almost instantaneously. Or if they don't, at least they tell me that they've not gone.
Mm.
With messages, specifically SMS messages, I can send a message and the system will tell me that I've sent it and it's been received by the system. And sometimes it can be hours before it gets picked up at the other end.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'll tell you something I found quite bizarre with messages and delays and such. Now, we talked a while ago about smartwatches.
Yep.
Often I'll get a notification on my smartwatch before the notification comes up on the phone. Figure that one out. Because it's the phone that sends the notification to the watch.
Yeah, that's going to depend on how the phone and how the app prioritizes what it's doing.
Mm.
So it's prioritized the fact that it's letting the watch know that there's a message. But what sort of delay are we talking about?
A minute.
Oh, as much as that? No, that does surprise me.
Which is really quite weird. I will get email notifications come up on the watch and I can actually read the email on the watch. And then... A few minutes later, my little LED starts flashing on the phone to say you've got a new message.
So your watch isn't synchronizing back to the phone to tell you that it's been read?
Only if I swipe it off, which sometimes I don't.
Right, gotcha.
That's when I notice what was happening. Because obviously if you swipe it off, then it disappears and you don't get the notification on the phone. If you don't, if you just sort of look at your watch and say, oh, there's a message from whatever, I'll read it later, it could be up to a minute before the phone starts flashing its little LED to tell me I've got an unread email.
That might be down to your settings as to how frequently your LED notifier checks.
Right.
Because your phone, this is one of the things that productive people recommend. You don't have notifications pop up immediately. You perhaps have notifications only update every
half
X
an
minutes,
hour
every
something.
Half an hour. Yeah. If you want to be really productive, once an hour.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're not there. Oh, there's something. Better read my phone.
Oh, better read that.
Yeah.
Possibly you've changed that on your phone or the default. I'm not sure.
I didn't know that I had, because I didn't know it was a thing you could change. But that, yeah.
Depends on the app, depends on the phone, depends on blah, 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 blah. But yeah, that sort of thing is sometimes the issue. What I found at work, I have my work email also on my own private phone.
Right.
So I'll get, again, the email will come up on the watch. I can read the email on the watch, and it can be 5 or 10 minutes before it comes up on my computer system. Now, this is because, again, we've got that similar sort of thing where email doesn't necessarily check constantly. It just so happens that mine is checking constantly. However, the mobile email system connects from the server out to the internet to my watch, whereas the mail routing internally, I don't know where on earth it goes all over the place before it eventually gets to my system.
Right. So therefore there can be a time delay
delays, there could be problems, there could be all sorts of things, and quite often now I've actually read the message before it even hits my email box. But the SMS stuff, I don't know if this is still the case, but when SMS was in its infancy, it really was a sort of cobbled together system, not even as efficient as email. It was sort of this box talks to that box and we've unplugged the cable, we better plug that one back in, you know. It wasn't that great an infrastructure. And I don't know if you remember the days, but it used to be that you could send SMS messages to people on your own network, but couldn't even necessarily send messages from one company to another.
Vaguely, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It wasn't a standard as such. It was just a, well, if you want to talk to other people who are using the same company, you can send text messages to them. But it was a sort of, why would you want a text message when you can talk to each other?
Talk to each other, yeah. And now it's a case of, why do you want to talk to each other when you can text them?
Well, exactly. It's called a mobile phone, but to be honest, I think I can count on all the toes on one hand the amount of times I actually use it as a phone each month.
Yeah, I mean, I've got the package I have, it's £15 a month. I get 300 minutes, 1,000 texts, but more crucially, all the data I can eat, as they say.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't think I have ever once used anywhere close to my text message allowance, and definitely not my phone allowance.
Last month I
streamed about 4 gigabytes worth of data.
I get through about 3 or 4 gigabytes.
Mm. Yeah, easy, especially now I'm using Spotify at work.
Not so much Spotify, but for me it's more the Waze.
Oh, you still use that? Yeah.
Yeah, I still use that, and it's still really good. The last couple of times I've been caught, there was no way it was going to help me. But what I find quite often is just, I'll set it from here to work. From here to work is no more than about 7 miles.
Yeah.
But there are two or three different routes that I can take. And if I start heading my normal route and it suggests that I don't take that route, I won't, because a couple of times now I've gone, oh, it doesn't know what it's talking about. That, you know, it's trying to take me some strange route that's going to be too far. Oh, and then I've set myself in traffic. If only I'd listened. So now I do listen to it, and I do follow where it says, and it's been really helpful. What the incident this week, which was quite a sad incident actually.
Is this the motorcyclist that
you motorcyclist said, yeah. Got to the end of my road and the traffic was completely different to the way that it normally is. Generally first thing in the morning, if there's a problem on the A3, then any traffic going south is just solid and any traffic going into town is okay. But on Monday, the traffic going onto the A3 was fine, and the traffic going into town was absolutely solid. And I sat in that traffic for 20 to 25 minutes, I hadn't been in the traffic for more than 5 minutes when we had to do the Moses parting of the sea sort of
for the
to let the
services.
Emergency services come out. And yeah, the emergency services, I could see the blue flashing lights no more than 200, 300 yards in front of me, where a motorcyclist had come a cropper. What's interesting is the reports all say that it was a single vehicle accident. So quite what happened, I don't know, but it was
So the motorcyclist just sort of got it wrong and had a moment. Is that what the suggestion is?
That's what the suggestion is. But the place where it's happened is not a particularly tricky corner junction. It's a straight bit. It's not straight. It's a good visibility piece of road, a gentle curve round to the right.
Is this if you come out of your road and turn left? Is it sort of down that hill that sort of goes around the corner? There's like an underpass and an overpass and all of that. It's just there.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah, because it's not really a dodgy bit of road, is it?
Not particularly. And it's not somewhere where you've had much of a chance to build up speed. Or anything.
No.
It's a 40-mile-an-hour piece of road. Granted, there are potholes and that sort of thing, but the sort of potholes that are down there, you really would have to be going some for them to have made a difference.
Hmm.
Even on two wheels. So quite what the poor guy's done to come a cropper, I don't know. But unfortunately, he died in the incident. And it's unusual for that to happen when it's just been the single single vehicle involved.
Yeah, I mean, you can understand sort of drop a bike on a corner and you slide a bit and your bikes are right off, but to actually sort of lose your life through it is quite rare, isn't it? That's generally when you sort of collide with something else, isn't it?
Yeah, or something else
running into you. Collides with you, yeah, yeah.
The only other thing which I can think of, and obviously this is going to happen no matter what vehicle you're driving, is whether it was a heart attack or something that the vehicle is actually irrelevant.
Yeah.
That's
a possibility, isn't it? Yeah, yeah.
You don't get those sort of details, but it's a sad thing to think that, you know, he went off to work that morning and just never came back.
You're listening to Dumbed Down Life.
So I just want to pick up real quickly on something we talked about last week, the Scott Sigler books.
Yes.
Have you listened to the question and answer episode?
I've started listening to it, but I don't mind spoilers. It's okay.
It seems that I'm not alone, and it's quite a common theory that the next book is going to be called The Coach.
Ah, right.
There's a lot of people of that opinion. But something that was quite interesting, so we were trying to figure out what the seventh book would be called. So we made the suggestion that it might be called The Owner.
Yeah.
Scott's actually said now that he doesn't know whether there's going to be seven books. The sixth one might be the last one.
Oh.
Because a lot of the plot line, I mean, he sort of sketched this whole series out for years and years ago.
Yeah.
And he had enough for seven books. But over the years, things have changed. He's condensed things. He's lost things. And various things have changed. And he thinks that it might only be six stories long. The sixth one might be quite a big one,
yeah,
but not enough to make sort of two reasonable sized books. He might just be making six.
But the ultimate, or the final book, you wouldn't want to call The Coach. The final book you'd want to call The Wrap Up, you know,
the hero, the savior, or
yeah,
because you know that's where it's going.
The coach is kind of a the hero, the savior, the something that a bit more upbeat than The Coach.
The Coach, yeah. Yeah.
So people are already sort of touting the idea that Quentin is going to be the coach, I take it.
Yeah, I'm not alone.
And I take it that Scott, in his general way, has sort of said, I can't tell you.
He said he can't tell you, but it's nice to see that people have caught on to the progression of the theme of the titles, but I can't say yes or no.
Yeah, so here's a big clue, but it might not be.
Not be.
Crafty.
Hi, this is Scott Sigler, author of the novels Infected and Contagious, and you are listening to Dumb Down Life.
So a couple of months ago, I was on the old Tinterwebs, and a friend of ours, Paul
Parkey.
Paul Parkey.
Yeah.
Posted up on Facebook saying, is anybody free on Wednesday afternoon? Because I have got two tickets to Dunsfold Aerodrome to see a filming of Top Gear.
Excellent.
And he'd originally was supposed to be going with somebody else and they couldn't get the time off work and blah, blah, blah. And because this was on a Tuesday evening, nobody that he posted on Facebook, nobody could get the time off at short notice. So I live not spitting distance away from the place.
Of course you don't.
And I just instant messaged my boss and said, somebody's come up with some tickets to go see Top Gear tomorrow. I know it's short notice, but can I have the day off? And he went, of course. Great. So I messaged Paul back and said, yep, I'll meet you and we'll go down there together. Brilliant. Fantastic. And then by the time I got home, I got an instant message saying that the filming might be cancelled tomorrow. It's like, oh, never mind, then we'll go whenever it is resumed. It's like, no, it might not ever be filmed. It's like, why? It's like, yeah, you've not seen the news yet, have you? No. And yeah, because Mr. Clarkson decided to have a bit of a rant, the end of the last series was it, and it was cut short. The material which they had already filmed for that show, because they do a mixture, of
in studio stuff and stories,
and so the stories that they had filmed for that show are now going to be aired in the next couple of weeks, I think. Isn't
I think
it?
So, yeah, yeah.
With only James May and Richard Hammond.
You see, I've read that Clarkson's done a couple of voiceovers for it, but not going to appear actually on screen.
Exactly. Whereas Hammond and
May.
Hammond and May. But the and of course Clarkson is in the pre-filmed stuff.
Yeah.
So. That will be the last show. But then, announced yesterday...
Yes.
...was that there's a new presenter.
Who strenuously denied he would do it if asked a few months ago. And he said, no, I'd never do it, can't do it. I'm too busy with the radio show and blah, blah, blah. And turns out they've got Captain America. No, oh, sorry, wrong Chris Evans.
I think Captain America would be a better one, actually.
It would be quite good, wouldn't it?
it's a well-known thing that Chris Evans, not Captain America, we'll just take that as read by now, is a bit of a car fanatic.
Yes.
So it's not really a surprise that he's been chosen.
I mean, to be fair, I think he's the man for the job.
I have to say that in recent years, I've been watching Top Gear less and less. It's just not my kind of show anymore.
Really? I think it probably is time for a bit of a refresh. So in a way, it's kind of fortuitous that they're being forced into it. But I think he's got the personality for it if they want to continue along a similar vein but do something slightly different.
Has he got the personality for it anymore?
Yeah. Did you?
He used to be quite the frustrating and well, he was the spark and the dangerous one who could say anything on the telly. But
he's mellowed a bit with his age. But
he has.
Did you see the TFI thing that he did a couple of weeks ago?
I have. Was this with Clarkson?
Well, the whole thing, the whole TFI program that he did.
I didn't see it. No.
You see. The Chris Evans that was on that TFI show is a different Chris Evans to the Chris Evans that's on the radio show.
Yeah.
He was much more his old self on the TFI, like back to when he was on TFI, probably not quite as edgy as he used to be, as they say. But he'd still got that sort of spark and sort of mischievousness, if you like.
So is TFI back on constantly now?
No, it was a 10th anniversary special.
Right.
But he was still sort of there. I think if he's going to be like that on Top Gear, then it could work because he's not quite as abrasive as Clarkson could be. But then there's he's not quite as boring. He's not like a normal presenter, so to speak.
Yeah.
He's still got that sort of mischievousness around it, and he could still do the silly stunts that they used to do and that kind of thing. More interestingly, who's going to present it with him?
Will it be two newbies?
Or will it be Hammond and May? Now, I know they've all sort of said, no, we're a team and we're not going to do it and everything. But Evans was saying something on his radio show today that he, when he was offered and he accepted, he sent a text message to all three of the other presenters, to Hammond, May and Clarkson. They all wished him well. And he said he has been speaking with them. What will come of that, I don't know, he said.
I suspect that it would be a case of him talking them into it.
Definitely.
It's a tricky situation, isn't it? I mean, yeah. if the BBC can't bring Clarkson back in now because they've said, you know, he's crossed lines.
Yep.
The other two, the BBC have got no beef with, but
would quite like them to stay.
Yeah, and
but then their loyalty is to Jeremy, and they're like, we're a team.
But then if all four of them are mates.
Yeah, it might.
Which I believe they are.
They are, yeah. So that might be sort of the olive branch, so to speak, for them to carry on. If Clarkson says, do you know what, just go and do it with him, it'll be a right laugh, then they might.
And it also depends on what other work they get offered, I would guess.
and how much Netflix is willing to pay them to do House of Cards or whatever the rumour you currently believe is going to happen.
Yeah.
But I think... I think I'd rather, I don't know. I mean, I'm in two minds because I think Hammond, DeMay and Chris Evans could be quite a good team, but it's obvious that Evans is just a replacement for Clarkson. Then you, the other side of that is a new team of three people, and it's kind of like, well, is it going to work? Are they going to have the chemistry and blah, you know, all of that? Or is Evans going to do it on his own with a few guests throughout the show?
Well, there's always...
There's a lot of ways they can go, isn't there?
There's the Doctor Who approach, where it's the same team, and it's got the makeup's there, but then that one character has been replaced by a different... he's regenerated. So although he's still the head of Top Gear, he doesn't have to have the same personality.
Yeah.
He could have a different personality. Because let's face it, when they're doing the show, generally it's the specials where they've got a race or they've got to build something and those sort of things are generally cutting between the three of them anyway.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily interaction between them that's the interesting bit. It's the fact that they all have the different personalities.
Yeah.
So Mr. Slow is still going to be Mr. Slow. The hamster is still going to be the one who's reckons that he can beat, in this case, Chris Evans.
Yeah.
Chris Evans is going to be the new boy who's going to try and prove himself.
Yeah.
And that as a character, the three of them there could work well together.
Together. It certainly sort of raised my interest level and sort of, I think they'll get quite a lot of views for the first couple of episodes because people are just going to be in whatever happens, whether it's a whole new team, whether it's Hammond, May and Evans, there's going to be a lot of people interested to see how much of a car crash or how successful it's going to be.
They would have to be very careful with regards to, because if they're going to try and choose another two presenters, do they go for another two who've got similar personalities to May and Hammond?
And then it's just a clone of what was gone before, and I don't think that would work. If they're going to change all three, they've got to go in a slightly different direction.
Well, because if...
Otherwise, they're just trying to be Top Gear. I know that sounds stupid, but Top Gear for me is those three guys. And if you get three guys of a similar type of thing, then it's just trying to be what's gone before. They need to do something in a similar vein, but in a slightly different direction.
Well, of course, Top Gear's not always had Clarkson.
No.
But it was when it had Clarkson is when it's taken off.
Yeah.
When it didn't have Clarkson, it was more like the other motoring shows that were around at the time.
Oh, baby.
And you are listening to the podcast. We'll play some fantastic music and we'll have a chat about some stuff.
Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
Thank you very much, Caroline. Rule number one of podcasting, and Citronella will keep more than just bugs away. Because it's the music and the talking that keeps bringing me back for more.
Excuse me.
Head along to the Bugcast chat room at thebugcast.org/live.
What?
If you can just wait the next few minutes before you fall asleep.
Okay, I'm flushing now.
In Yorkshire, anything's possible.
Well, it's no surprise we've been asleep for about 7 or 8 months. Recently woke up and started sending messages again. You remember one of the last things that we talked about would be the...
Oh, I like that tie-in.
It was good, wasn't it?
I really feely about that. Real sort of feely tie-in there. Yeah, I like that.
So the Philae, I've 7 months have gone by, still don't know how to say it. The Philae, whatever, the comet lander, the probe.
Yes.
And Rosetta was the sort of mothership. That launched just before we sort of stopped recording for a brief while. And the Philae landed on the comet, bounced, and then went dead. And seven months have gone by and it's just woke up and it's just started sending some messages.
Yeah, the message so far is, I'm here and I'm awake, to which they've said, okay, no, calm down. Just keep charging, because obviously, I believe, and you can correct me on this, that it's now getting closer to the sun.
Yes.
And therefore it's picking up more energy.
It's managed to get enough power in its solar cells to power up the systems. And the transmitter's now working. But it's only managed to send about a minute and a half's worth of messages.
Right.
And each one has been 10 seconds or less in duration. So it's sort of like, I'm here, I'm here, I'm here. And then it goes dark again. And then it comes back and goes, I'm still here, I'm still here. So I don't think it's actually sent anything of any importance yet, but crucially, it's alive.
So,
and it's getting power. So the scientists are really quite happy.
So it is getting power. It's mm-hmm. not a case that it's accumulated power over the last 7 months.
No.
And now it's discharging it. It's...
No, it's getting power sort of, and as soon as it's got enough, it's powering up and sending a message. And they're hoping that as the comet gets even closer and closer to the sun, it might actually be able to wake up and do science.
Yeah. So do you know anything about the orbits of Rosetta around? Is Rosetta geostationary above the land?
I believe it is. I'm not entirely certain. I know it's about 200 kilometers away from it.
Yeah.
They think that the lander isn't in quite the right orientation, so the signal that it's managing to send is quite a weak signal.
Yeah.
And that's about as much as I can find out. But I do say it's got about 3 hours. The lander Philae is getting about 3 hours worth of sunshine a day.
Yeah.
And that's enough to sort of power up the transmitter, but not quite enough to start using any instruments like the drills and that they've got.
Yep.
It's not enough to power that. But the thing that sort of made everybody happy is the fact that it hasn't smashed on impact. It hasn't bounced.
Yep.
It hasn't bounced upside down. It's roughly sitting in the right way. It's in the wrong place. It's about, I think it was like 2 kilometers or something. It bounced away from where they wanted it to be. But it's sort of in the right orientation that the solar panels are pointing upwards. It's sort of, they're really quite happy that, I mean, this is a good outcome, I think, is what they're trying to say.
Yeah.
You know, it's not completely dead and buried, it's there. So, it's quite exciting. I'll be following this to see if they can actually get some drilling and actual science done.
Did you see anything about the flying saucer that NASA launched last week, I think it was?
No.
We'll have to do some research on that for the next recording, because they're looking at a new sort of technology. I believe it was balloon related, and they launched literally looks like a flying saucer with a single rocket in the middle of it. And I missed that one. Sometimes if I see something coming up, then I'll watch it on NASA TV.
A balloon shaped like a saucer with a rocket in it.
There was a balloon involved in it.
Okay.
We'll dig into that a bit more for next time. But yeah
definitely.
It failed. It had gone wrong. But I was going to ask you more about it. But you've not seen it. No. Yeah. Sometimes I watch NASA TV if I hear about something in time. But this particular one, I'd sort of seen a tweet that it had gone wrong. It's like, oh, I wanted to watch that, but I missed it. Well, that's us done again for another recording. I hope you listen to us again soon.
You can call the Dumbed Down Life crew on 07-092-274-759.
You can follow us on Twitter. Our account name is Dumbed Down Life.
The email address is ddl.podshow@gmail.com. The website address is www.dumbdownlife.com.